Flowers fade, cards get tossed, but a personalized song, that lasts forever. Surprise someone you love with a custom song made just for them with Joybox. Visit Joybox.com to get started on your personalized song today. Don't just say I love you, sing it with Joybox.
Oh, whoa, what was that?
Sorry, I moved back to school.
Incredible timing. All right, let's do that again. 3, 2, 1. Ohio State wants to be tested. It's just going to have to keep waiting for the next opportunity for that to happen. Buckeyes are 10-0. The winning streak to start the year continued for the undefeated reigning national champions. An easy 48-10 win on Saturday night over UCLA in the Horseshoe. Zach Bourne was there. Zach Bourne will break it down, as always, on a Monday edition of the Austin and Berm Show, The Beat. This is the Zach Bourne Show, though. A Bourne Blitz. And welcome to another week. What'd you make of that one, Zach? Because I think there was more intrigue about who was not playing than maybe who was, and it was pretty entertaining who the Buckeyes did wind up putting on the field.
Another ho-hum Saturday for the Buckeyes. It go out there, you take care of business against an inferior opponent in the Big Ten, and to your point, I think there was more juice pregame on social media about who and who wasn't going to play compared to actually what was going on during the game. But again, you saw what the Buckeyes implemented in their game plan against Purdue with getting a lot of guys, a lot of reps who aren't used to it. You saw it again Saturday night against UCLA, a lot of young guys getting reps, a lot of guys who down into the depth chart, second, third stringers, getting a lot of play. Obviously, the last two games haven't been ideal for the fans, obviously for the national media, because they don't think Ohio State plays anyone, even though these are Big Ten opponents. And to be honest, it doesn't do much for the locker room or the football facility, because I can guarantee you those guys want to play in a big matchup and they want the excitement of these games. So Ohio State's just taking care of business, doing what they're supposed to do, getting a lot of guys, a lot of reps for whoever they're going to need down the stretch. Because we saw it last year, once the playoff hits, once you start getting into, you know, the do or die football of one and done, you need everyone there. And so these reps are crucial for those guys to build some confidence going into December and January.
I know that the national narrative, Zach, doesn't really matter, but it's still just, and I'm sure for you, having been part of this and, you know, playing for Ohio State and wearing the scarlet and gray, being a captain, like, you can't tune out all that noise entirely. Everybody tries to, and all you want to do is win the games and beat the opponent in front of you on Saturday. But when there is this notion that, oh, Ohio State hasn't played anybody, or they're untested, or they're unproven, I know how much that irritates Ohio State players and the Ohio State coaching staff, or anyone in the equipment room, like anyone who signs on to play and deal with the pressure of Ohio State, wants to be pushed to the absolute limit like every single week. And they can't help it that they're in the midst of this stretch. Like, they have to find other challenges and other ways to look for improvement when they're playing Purdue, when they're coasting past UCLA, who doesn't start as starting quarterback and flies across the country for some reason, even if he's got a concussion. To be in front of 100,000 people at the Horseshoe. That's not any of my business. But like, Ohio State wanted Nico to play because the one thing that they had sort of circled was a dual threat quarterback that they could defend to prepare for Michigan or maybe Indiana or Oregon down the stretch. And like, this notion that Ohio State is just benefiting from a light schedule and they wouldn't care about that is crazy to me.
So what you just said is a fully loaded multiple comments, right? A paragraph of things. So I'm going to
sorry.
No. I love it because it just tees up, and I'm going to try and put some of these things to rest, right? In regards to national media, players see it. You know, everyone says they don't want to pay attention to it. Of course they do. When I was playing from 2009 to 2012, we would listen to the media. We would know what the media was saying. That was 13 years ago, right? When media, technology, phones, like, weren't even close to what they are nowadays. So now that how much social media is in your face at all times, those guys see it. Those guys read it. It probably motivates those guys. because here's the other thing on the flip side, and they will never admit it during the season. I never admitted it during the season. Coach Day and the coaching staff probably will never admit it even in the offseason. But the players will tell you they want to play in big games. They love big games. Waking up on a Saturday morning to play UCLA, who you know you are just going to dog walk, does nothing for you. Right? When you wake up as a football player playing at Ohio State, you want to put your feet on the ground and your body tingle, right? The hair on your arms stick up a little bit. You feel the adrenaline going through your body. Like, as a football player, you get off to that. That's why you play football. You want the big lights. You want the top 25 matchups. You want someone to come in there and talk shit and get into a fight with you, because that's what you crave as a football player. So these teams that come in, and you know, guess what? They're not going to put up a fight. They're not going to give me a punch. They're just going to come here to try and get through the get through the game and get back on their flight to go home. Like, we hate that as football players. You ask any of those guys, and like I said, they might not admit it now. You ask them in February after the season, they will say it was the most painful stretch of football they've maybe ever played in their entire lives, because guess what? There is no emotion behind it. Those guys want to be able to talk shit. They want to be able to get in people's faces. They want the emotions to be extremely high. They want the crazy pregame speeches in the locker room. They want to run out and just hear 100,000 roar. Like, they want that. And so when you talk about a conference schedule, right? And guess what? It is what it is. You look at Ohio State's scheduled next year, it looks fully loaded, but you never know what's going to happen, right? And I think if you were to ask people this year, people would have been like, oh no, I remember having this conversation. That's a tough schedule. Oh my God. You got Texas, right? You got to go on the road to Illinois. You got freaking Penn State, right? Like, at Washington, on the road at Washington, like, everyone's talking about those games. Like, oh my God, Ohio State might be 9-3 at the end of the year, 10-2. Like, those conversations were real conversations, right? And now it's just completely flipped. And it's all because of people playing ball and you seeing the way that the season rolls out. Well, guess what? In August, no one thought this schedule was easy by any means. People thought it was one of the hardest in the country. So you can't make that argument now just because, hey, listen, that some of these teams are absolutely hot garbage. And it is what it is. But that's, you can't hold that against Ohio State. You can't hold that against these players when you start talking about end of the year awards with, you know, the Heisman Trophy and everything else. Like, that's not their fault, and you can't hold that against them. I'll tell you this much. Those guys are salivating for less than 2 weeks now, on November 29th up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. I can guarantee you those guys are going to be so amped, and they are just – they want that game to happen so bad because they're ready for a high emotional game. So sorry for my tangent. I love how you teed it off, but it just irks me how people think like, oh, the guys just – you know, they're just beating everyone. They're just going through the motions. They hate it. They hate it as much as you do watching it. Trust me. National media, they hate it as much as you do talking about it, right? You want to throw jabs at Ohio State. Well, guess what? They would love to be playing Texas every week. They would love to be playing, you know, Georgia and Alabama and all them. And guess what? They'd be waxing their ass too. Trust me.
Well, I think that the just win stuff that, you know, Ryan Day has really hammered home every single week is more relevant than ever in the expanded college football playoff era. And I've been saying this for a while, that it's about adjusting some of the expectations. And, you know, when it comes to even playing Carnell Tate, getting him back, sitting Caleb Downs for the entire second half, sitting Jeremiah Smith for the entire second half on Saturday night, when you have a lead, like, there really is no value to the style points conversation, especially if you're Ohio State. So That stuff is new. All that to be said, Ohio State still won that game by 38. And I know that UCLA stinks. They were shorthanded. But the way that the Buckeyes have managed this season, they're also still winning comfortably. And you, in college football, ask Texas A&M which game script they would have rather had against a struggling opponent. They were down by 27 at halftime, had to roar back. Kudos to them for doing so. But you look across the college football landscape, nobody else is doing it like Ohio State is right now. You want to fight for the SEC and say, oh, well, this a bad South Carolina team is so much better than UCLA or Northwestern pushing Michigan, or you know, I don't believe that. But if that's the narrative that other people want to push, good luck, and so be it. But every conference, every week, you're seeing some of these results. The only outlier is that Ohio State's execution and talent has been so consistently superior. And I think that they deserve, Zach, and I know you agree with this, they deserve more credit for the way that they are approaching these games where they know they're going to win. They're not just sleepwalking to a 10-point win or struggling. Even a year ago, the national champions like almost dozed off and lost to Nebraska at home. There haven't been any of those close calls for this team. Like we're getting worked up if they only beat Illinois on the road by 18.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk forever on the show about this. And Ohio State is taking care of business, and it's almost like people or teams are getting rewarded when they're in a tight game and they find a way to win it. Like
Indiana against Penn State.
So you literally the two games, right? The two games I'm literally thinking of: Texas A&M and South Carolina. South Carolina would get beat by Northwestern, and if people want to argue that and that goes viral, I will stand on that. That Northwestern would beat South Carolina, right? South Carolina goes to Texas A&M, and how they don't. Probably Shane Beamer should be fired for not winning that football game, right?
Right.
And Texas A&M wins by one, and everyone's like, oh my God, the second half, Marcel Reed, Heisman moment, all these things. Like, that doesn't make sense, right? They went up against a very bad South Carolina football team and looked atrocious for a little over half of that game, right? In the second half, somehow, some way, South Carolina found a way to lose. It's not like Texas A&M came and won that football game, right? And then you talk about Indiana against Penn State. Penn State is a very bad football team. Shouldn't say very bad. A very average football team.
Yeah. Okay. Talented, but less than the sum of their parts.
Correct. So very average football team. You see what you're supposed to do when you play a team like Penn State, who has some talent, but is just an average football team. It's exactly what Ohio State did, right? You come out and you beat them handedly, right? And so all this conversation about these top teams being in a dogfight and them earning more credit across the country because of it, I don't understand it. Like, you look at, Miami's being talked about now about back in the college football and all these things. Miami lost two terrible games. I mean, terrible games.
Yeah.
And you want to bring up Louisville. I mean, right? Louisville and SMU. And who knows? I'm not going to sit here and just trash on every college football team. But it's almost like you see what some of these top teams that people have said throughout the year. I remember there was a time in early to mid-October, people are saying Miami's the greatest team this year that they've seen in a long time, and they would just curb stomp everyone, right? Yeah. Well, guess what? Look what they do against Louisville and SMU, two very average football teams in the Big 12, in the ACC, right?
Yeah.
So the stance of national media of Ohio State just having ho-hum victories and cruising through and covering spreads of 34 points and doing all these things like that, that is what elite football teams do. And you need to understand that. You need to acknowledge it. If Ohio State was Alabama or Georgia and they were just moving through the SEC and doing what they were supposed to do, kind of like Texas A&M's schedule this year. Because let's be honest, Texas A&M's schedule is less than desirable if we're talking about schedules.
They missed all of the ranked SEC teams.
Missed all of them, right? And guess what? If Texas A&M was doing what Ohio State was doing, everyone would be like, oh my God, this is crazy. But guess what? They're not. Yeah, they've blown out some teams, but they're not just dominating football games like Ohio State is. So I don't understand the perception of what people are thinking when they want to see a team tested, and when in all reality they shouldn't be tested.
Or in college football, that test can come at any point. And I think that's why I've tried to maintain and focus on a healthy appreciation for when Ryan Day is talking to this team about not getting bored and treating every week the same and treating every opponent the same, they've done that. I think that that is worth tipping your hat to, because ultimately it's not like Ohio State can just choose on Monday to swap out its schedule and say, well, UCLA is broken, let's bring in Oregon on a short notice. Like, you don't get to do that. And every team across the country has to play the team that's on their schedule that week. And I know that we're repeating the same thing and maybe beating a dead horse, because I just think when Ohio State does this, winning comfortably while managing things for the future, when the test in the talent equated games start, like the stuff about the injury situations and, you know, Tywan Malone not playing the week before against Purdue, and then he comes back and he looks healthier the next week. Or we already mentioned Carnell and Jeremiah, and Caleb Downs had that opportunity on Saturday night to watch on from the sideline in the second half. Like, that stuff should be, I think, typically it would be more lauded across the country. And if that doesn't happen, so be it. I just think if we're talking about the team that we watch every single snap that they play in Columbus, I am enjoying that part of it. And I'm not going to focus on that part of the negativity or nitpick anything that they did on Saturday night, because I am just impressed by it.
I have a hot take, and I hope I hope this hot take spreads, and I will stand firm on this opinion no matter what happens over the next 2 weeks for Ohio State. Okay.
Okay.
In the last 25 years, I'm only going to go back to the year 2000. There have been some great coaches that have come through Ohio State. What Ryan Day has done this year is the best coaching performance Ohio State football has had in the last 25 years. And the reason why I say that is because in the world of NIL, when you have guys that are getting paid what they are, to keep guys locked in on a weekly basis, playing inferior opponents and taking care of business, putting up numbers, playing the way that you're supposed to be playing, meeting expectations week in and week out, in my opinion, that is probably the hardest thing to do. And Ryan Day is doing that and passing with flying colors. Right. And what people don't realize is when you are a coach and you're dealing with 18 to 22-year-old young men, the games that are hard to coach are the games that those players know that they're playing a bad football team. And they know they're supposed to win. Because guess what? In 18 to 22, especially when you're getting paid what you are nowadays, complacency is a real thing, like a very real thing. And for Ryan Day and this coaching staff to take complacency completely out of the program, completely out of the locker room, and you have said it multiple times already on the show, you have these guys locked in and doing what they're supposed to be doing and playing like the Ohio State Buckeyes they are and playing to their talent and not playing to their opponent. That's what special coaches do. And that's why I would argue it. Urban Meyer's great. I love Urban. You know that. We're still really close. How many times did he have that lax performance against Purdue or Iowa, right? Or that team, guess what? You're going up against a very lackadaisical opponent, inferior opponent, and you play down to their level. And it happens because you're dealing with kids and they get in their head from that standpoint and they realize, I don't need to play that hard this week. We're just going to walk out there, roll the helmets out, and we're going to win. Ryan Day has convinced this football team to not be complacent, to go out there and play Ohio State football and play to who to the standard that they are and not who their opponent is. And in my opinion, it's the best coaching job that we have seen in Ohio State football history in the last 25 years.
Yeah, I mean, that's the craziest part, Zach, is that if you rewind 3 months, 7 months, whatever, anything in the offseason, then the narrative about this team was that they had to replace too much talent. They were not being seriously viewed as a national title contender, even though they were a top 10 team. And everyone said, you look at the blue chip ratio on the roster. Well, 8 defensive starters are gone. They're all in the NFL. Will Howard is gone. You know, what's this going to look like with Julian Sain? You know, everything on down the road was a healthy dose of skepticism about Ohio State. So I'm really just amazed that the narrative flipped so, I don't know, polar 180 degrees with no appreciation for how it got to that point. Like, oh, these guys were actually better than we thought. And kudos to Ryan Day for this coaching job. Or Matt Patricia is doing this with the defense and Larry Johnson's defensive line. Look what James Laurinaitis has done with Arvell Reese and Sonny Styles. Secondary is still BIA. Jeremiah Smith and Brian Hartline and Carnell Tate, and when they're healthy, what they're doing, and quarterback development. James Peoples hurtling over people. Lorenzo Styles Jr. is ending a 15-year kickoff return drought. Like, there's a lot of really fun stuff happening, and to like diminish the accomplishments to me makes no sense.
Zero sense, right? Zero sense. And it's again, we can kind of turn the page on the subject because I think people understand where we're coming from. But again, I think it goes back to how great of a coaching job Ryan Day and this coaching staff has done with this team. And you name dropped all those guys on defense, Will Howard. Let's talk about the two-headed running backs, right, with Quinshon and Trey. Let's talk about Emeka Ebuka, right, who's a record-setting wide receiver at Ohio State. Like, the list goes on and on. We talk about two offensive linemen that one was a first-round draft pick. The other one probably would have been a third or fourth if he didn't get injured, right? Like, we're talking about real dudes that they had to replace, and they literally replaced them and maybe got better, which is absolutely crazy. Absolutely crazy.
All right. So we ranted about the narrative and tried to show some appreciation for what's going on. And we barely talked about UCLA, which I think is fine because UCLA is one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. I think we all recognize that reality as well. I'm not trying to make the win seem more valuable against that opponent. I'm talking about the journey as a whole for Ohio State. That's, I think, the point Zach and I are trying to make on this episode of the Born Blitz, but there are still some three and outs to get to. And that'll be the only conversation we have, I guess, about what happened Saturday night.
That is the that's the only conversation we have. You are correct. So we're three and out. Third starts of the game are the three running backs, and James Peoples, Isaiah West, and our guy, Bo Jackson. What they were able to do, I think all three of them averaged over 7 yards per carry. You know, we're waiting for this running game to pop off. Those guys had some big plays. They made some spectacular plays. You know, I think everyone was waiting for James Peoples to make some people miss throughout this year. And he went out and made people miss Saturday night, man. And he did it in a multitude of ways. And so that was phenomenal to see, especially when you have CJ Donaldson out. Those three guys stepped up. I think those the two freshmen, man, are coming on so strong. And you just start to see them get more and more comfortable. One thing I would like to see with those guys is, you know, I know there's a big rotation, and I know Coach Locke is, you know, has a game plan in mind, but keeping those guys engaged, and we talk about it all the time, when you're a player, you want more and more reps in a game, and you get more and more comfortable. And so, you know, going a series and sitting off two series, and yeah, it's kind of hard to find a rhythm, but those guys, man, are hitting the ground running. So hats off to those guys. Number two is just going to be the wide receiving core. Right. And when you don't have Carnell Tate, when you don't have really a fully healthy Jeremiah Smith, the way Bryson Rogers, Mylon Graham, Quincy Porter, like the way those guys stepped up and made plays, and Brandon Ennis had some huge third down conversions in the first half. Those guys answered the call right now. Obviously, it wasn't as clean of a game as we've seen from Julian Sain in the wide receiving core. But guess what? When you're used to all those reps with Carnell and Jeremiah, and now you're on a completely different page with wide receivers that from a timing standpoint, you're not used to, you're going to have that. But those guys, man, they made plays. They're out there showing their God-given ability, their talent. The future's bright for those guys. So hats off to them.
What a world, though, Zach, where Julian Sand completes 74% of his passes. Like, well, that's an off night.
That sucks. Yeah, that's a bad performance, right? I get it. Hey, that's Buckeye fan. Hey, it goes back to the last 30 minutes on this show.
I know. Like, I know. Sometimes we're guilty. Sometimes we're guilty, too.
Yeah, correct. We're guilty, too, right? And then the number one star Buckeye Leaf sticker award winner for Saturday night is none other than Pickerington's own Lorenzo Styles. Woo-hoo-hoo! Man.
His brother's pretty good,
yard,
too, though.
100-yard kickoff return. First one since 2010. The dude's got jets, man. The dude.
Were you blocking on that? Were you blocking on that last one? Were you part of that?
On 2010, I was blocking on it.
There we go. Jordan Hall.
Yeah. Jordan Hall, I was blocking. It was in the Michigan game. And yeah, I think I was part of the wedge back then. I for sure was part of the wedge my freshman and sophomore year. But at some point, I think in my sophomore year, there were times I was on and off the wedge. And that was my sophomore year. But I think I was. I think I was part of it.
All right.
I might have to go back and look at the tape. But Lorenzo Styles, man, shot out of a rocket. The dude has unbelievable speed. I remember watching him in high school. And I know he really wanted to play wide receiver because he always wanted the ball in his hands. I thought he would be an unbelievable DB that could do punt return, kickoff return, do those things. And you're seeing him do that now that, you know, he transferred from Notre Dame to Ohio State, playing at a very, very, very high level. I think he's probably one of the most underrated guys on the defense so far this year. He might be number one with just what he's been doing. I know he's been injured a little bit, but he is locked down in the slot. He's great in run support. And now, man, kickoff returns. Who knows? Maybe they'll put him at punt returner. But to get the first kickoff return in 15 years, hats off to you. Hats off to – leave it to a Pickerington Tiger, man.
Of course. You just get that pick pipeline going. That's all you need.
Oh, dude, it's happening. Already got a running back, you know, that we're teeing up. He's a freshman there. Who knows? Pantone might offer him here in the next couple weeks. I don't know.
I know that he can get a good scouting report from a guy. I can believe that for sure. All right, so that's it. Another boring blitz in the books. Ohio State, 48-10. Comfortable win. On to Rutgers. I can't believe we're already here, but it is going to be senior day. We've got a big noon kickoff.
Hey, we're here. I know you said that's it, but God dang, we're 2 weeks out or less than 2 weeks out from Michigan. My God. Our team up north, right? In Ann Arbor.
Oh, you're getting soft on me.
Dude, I can't tell you how excited I am for that game. Like, as soon as that game ended last year, I wanted to play the very next day. Like, I was ready. I was ready to suit up myself. So to think the season has flown by as fast as it has is, first off, insane, but to know that Thanksgiving is next week and we get an opportunity to go into Ann Arbor and just put an ass whooping on those guys is, oh my God, I'm like salivating. I'm so ready to do this, man.
We're almost
like hungry wolves, Austin. That's what it is. Hungry it is wolves.
Land of the wolves. We're almost there. One more tune up to go. I'm sorry, Rutgers. You're going to have to bear the brunt of that on Saturday. Ohio State's got their sights set on the game already, but it's 1 week at a time. It's nameless, faceless opponents. The issues are always there. We're going to hear that a lot this week. I guarantee it. We'll break it down on the Austin and Berm show. The beat all week long will be at the live show at Roosters later on Monday. But here we go. Senior week is here. Big noon kickoff against Rutgers this week. That's it for Ohio State UCLA conversation though. Well, maybe there'll be a little bit more, but probably not so much about the game itself. Thanks for joining us. Sorry if you didn't like Zach and I ranting about some of the narrative around this team, but we got to get it off our chest. Thanks so much for joining us. Thanks, as always, to former Ohio State captain Zach Bourne for his insights. I am Austin Ward. We'll talk to you later.
Your 2 a.m. questions are nobody's business. Not the symptoms you're scared to tell your doctor. Not the money worries. Not the things you'd rather keep private. Right now, companies are using what you look up online to track, target, and make a fortune off your secrets. Startpage keeps your curiosity private. It's the private search engine that helps you find what you need without the spying and without the noise. Nobody in your business, no saved search history. Try Startpage at startpage.com. That's startpage.com.